All right, if I could have your attention in the media center, we can continue with our post-race media availability. We're now joined with the race-winning team, Christopher Bell, driver of the number 20 GameStop Just Cause for Toyota, crew chief Jason Ratcliffe, and executive vice president of Xfinity Series and Development at Joe Gibbs Racing, Steve D'Souza. If you do have a question, please raise your hand. We'll get you a wireless mic. We'll start here and work our way in the back.
Christopher Bell, Justin Schuler, Speedway Media. First off, congratulations on getting to Homestead with the win. On the restarts, you had quite a few having that experience, having the decision to go either high side or low side. Even though the track configuration hasn't really changed, start-finish line moving obviously probably played a mental game. Did you see a kind of advantage of choosing the inside or the outside at all?
Honestly, I just left that up to my spotter and crew chief. It's a lot easier for me if I just say, hey, what do I do? And they told me to pick the bottom, so I did. I think the advantage of being on the bottom, though, was you could shortcut the racetrack as much as you needed to. And then whenever you got into turn one, if this situation would have arose, I could have just drove in there and slid up into them and be on the offense instead of the defense. So, yeah, just being on the bottom. And I, thankfully, I didn't have to do that, and there weren't any late race yellows. But the big advantage I had was my car was not loose in at all, so I could attack turn one as hard as I needed to get myself clear. And that was ultimately what, you know, got me in cleaner.
Matt Weaver with Auto Week, one for Bell first to your left, and one to Jason afterwards. For you, Christopher, how hard was it not to get suckered in when you were racing the 22 and that got kind of
I don't know if you're listening to my radio or not.
I was.
Oh yeah. I was full suckered in. Luckily I have Jason and Tony Hirschman yelling at me, and you know, that's that I told him that right before I got in the car, and that's what I've been telling him for I don't know, at least the last couple days. I just said, you know, I need someone yelling at me, and I feel like I do a really good job managing the first half of the race. But especially once you get to the end of stage two, this week you have still over half the race left. But to me, at the end of stage two, I start getting amped up. You know, the 22 is racing me like he does every single week. And, you know, I got frustrated, and I was over it, but those guys didn't let me lose my head, and you know, just said, let them go. And, you know, we had the best pit crew on pit road and got us out in front of them. So I didn't have to deal with them anyway.
Yeah, on that note, Jason, does it come natural for you to have to yell at your driver?
No. Well, I don't know. I have worked with Kyle Busch, so I love him. So just so you know that. No, it doesn't. I let Tony do that. He does a good job of managing it, and he's talking in my left ear, and I'm listening to Christopher in my right ear, so... It you know, I can't see the whole racetrack. Tony can see what's going on, but I'm definitely in Tony's left ear saying, hey, man, we got to, you know, stop this before it gets out of control. So we had a moment like that today, but everyone did a good job of handling it, and Christopher did a good job of managing it, thankfully. And like he said, the pit crew got us out front, and it wasn't a big deal in the end.
Off topic for you too, Jason. There's been a lot of talk this week about the storylines of the sport off the track concerning what goes on in the shop, penalties. The word cheating is thrown around a lot. Do you feel like crew chiefs and teams are sometimes unfairly vilified because they don't totally understand what goes on when cars aren't on the track? Kind of a complicated question, I know, but... Yeah.
Do so, what now?
So obviously, so let's say with the Forest situation, right, this past week, people throw the word cheat around a lot. And we're talking about things that are sometimes fractions of a fraction of
yes.
an inch.
Yep.
And I think sometimes, just my opinion, I feel like it's from a lack of education from fans who don't understand that competition takes place off the track as well as on it.
Sure.
So I'm just curious what your perspective is as a crew chief in educating fans what goes on when cars are not racing on the track.
Well, I think no different than any other sport. You know, unfortunately, every other sport, they deal with their penalties immediately, most of them. If a guy gets a holding call, it's immediately a penalty, and they don't talk about it on Monday and Tuesday. So, for this sport, we talk about it on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. And so I think sometimes it gets blown out of proportion. You work hard, you know, to try to find every advantage you can. If you don't, you shouldn't be doing this. is my opinion. But, you know, at the same time, you got to be smart. And NASCAR has rules in place, and I'm glad they do. Otherwise, it would get out of control. But I think I have a different perspective, and that is, you know, the four car, to me, okay, big deal. But, you know, he took that risk and he got caught, and he's going to have to pay the consequences. So if you're going to do it, fine. You're not going to be the only one doing it, I can promise you that. But if you get caught, then, hey, keep your chin up, keep digging. So that's the way I look at it. To me, it's not a huge deal. Again, everyone's trying to find an advantage where they can. It's a tough sport, and you got to search everywhere you can to get it. And, you know, Rodney's a great crew chief. He'll win a lot of races. He'll keep winning a lot of races. He's got great race cars, and I'm pretty sure sitting right here that the four car, you know, I don't know exactly what they were doing, but on any given day, you can probably find something like that on every car out there. So I'll leave it at that.
We'll go next to Wolfgang and then the Bob.
I have three questions. Is okay? Okay. Wolfgang Munzer from Germany Rennsport Press Agency. First of all, congratulations for all of you. I have two questions for Jason Radcliffe and one for Christopher Bell. When Christopher had to start from the end of the rear of the grid, personally, you did you get a panic attack?
Well, yeah, I do actually, especially in this situation. You know, knowing what was at stake today, knowing that we needed a win to move on, and it's been a great season for us. I mean, if it had been a mediocre season, you know, we would be probably coming here with a different approach. But it's just been an awesome season. A lot of people have worked extremely hard, and we need to get to Homestead. So for me, to put him in that situation and put that pressure on him, it's tough. We've been in that situation a few times this year, obviously not in these circumstances where we had to win. But he does a great job, you know, of managing that and methodically working his way to the front, just like we saw today. So I wasn't concerned about him. I just, you know, for me, I hate putting him in that spot and asking him to work any harder than he already has to.
And the second question, I think when the driver is starting from the end of the grid instead of front of the grid, you have a different strategy. Can you give some more details about your strategy?
Well, the way the cautions fell today, you know, the strategy was pretty straightforward. You know, I felt like in the first stage, if we could make up the majority of that track position, I knew our pit crew was good for a couple spots on pit road. And then from there, the toughest part is, you know, adjusting the car because it's going to handle differently when you're driving from 40th to 10th than it is once you get up into the top five. So I feel like our adjustments were right on today. Maybe the magnitude of the adjustment wasn't quite where it needed to be, but directionally we did good, and he did a good job. And again, our pit crew was second to none. I mean, they rocked today. And thankfully, to his qualifying effort last week, we had the best pit box.
And the third question for Christopher, I think immediately after the race, you said to the interviewer you had a very fast car. Nevertheless, coming from the end of the grid, you have to deal with traffic. Can you give some information about the traffic situation?
Yeah, the biggest thing for me is, you know, just my biggest problem whenever I started NASCAR racing was beating myself, and I still am very guilty of that. But whenever you start in the back, especially from lap one, you have to realize that you're going to get a lot of opportunities to pass cars without actually passing them on the racetrack. So whenever I got to, I think I got to 10th on the first stage, and I'll be honest, I stalled out around 15th or 14th. I quit going forward, and at that point, I got a little bit nervous, but you know, I knew that it was only lap 45, and then my pit crew gained me a couple more spots, and then basically the same thing happened again. You know, I got to, I don't remember what it was, fourth at the end of stage two, and my pit crew got me two more spots, and then next thing you know, I'm out front. So for me, going through traffic is you just have to take advantage of your strengths, and this week our pit crew was a huge strength, so hopefully that'll continue next week.
Bob Hocker, ESPN. Christopher, do you feel like going through this experience at all of having kind of your back against the wall and performing and winning helps you going into next week, or was you look so calm? Maybe it wasn't a big deal that you what you did today going into next week.
I'll be honest, Bob. After Kansas and Texas, you know, I just kind of accepted the fact that we might be eliminated. And from that point, once I accepted that, I sat back and looked at the season that we had, and we won six races. And, you know, whenever I won the fourth race, I was really happy and pretty much called the season. We were pretty much just over halfway, but it was a successful year. And then we've just been able to win some more races. And so I guess the biggest thing for me is that I accepted that we might not be going to Homestead, and knew that we would have really fast race cars for the last two races and just tried to execute and not beat myself. And, you know, I just get to drive really fast race cars. So that's why I'm able to win races. And, you know, it was more so the team coming through than me this weekend. Like you said, our backs were against the wall, and they show up here with arguably one of our fastest race cars we've brought to the racetrack all weekend or all year. So that was, that's why we got the results that we did today.
Have you accepted the chance that you could finish fourth in the points after next week, or is next week a totally different story?
that's just the nature of the beast.
Feeling of pressure. Do you go in next week with a much different feeling of pressure than you did this week?
Well, I guess my best answer to that is I guess the 22 was in a must win, but other than that, I gave six other guys a huge advantage to knock me out, and they didn't. So now nobody has an advantage going into next week. So I'm smiling about that.
We go next to Jerry, then Chris, and work our way to the middle.
Jerry Jordan, Kicking the Tires on NPR, and I want to ask you about Homestead as well. The momentum of your must-win situation here and the happiness that you're feeling up there after kind of, as you said, riding it off. Can you take that into Homestead knowing that everything's reset? It's flat out man versus man versus man versus man going for the championship next week.
Yeah, it's I don't know if you can take any momentum there. The double zero has, you know, they're licking their chops, right? They've won by 15 or something seconds last year, so I'm sure they're feeling good going into it. But you know, we saw with the Cup deal, Jimmy Johnson won his championship because a couple guys beat themselves and took each other out, and you know, he was just at the right spot at the right time, and he was definitely not the best out of the four. So that's what we're gonna have to do next week, is just if we are the best car, try not to beat yourself, and if we're not the best car, just wait for the opportunity for that last pit stop, and you never know when the last restart's gonna come. So I've been in the final four now 3 years out of my three full-time years in the NASCAR deal, and thankfully Steve D'Souza and Tyler Gibbs back there and all the guys at Toyota gave me the opportunity to run for the owner's championship last year in the Xfinity series. So I've kind of lived it a little bit, and even in the Xfinity car, being in that owner's final four. So I know a little bit of what's going on, and I know that Jason's going to bring a really fast race car. So yeah, I'm excited, and momentum-wise, who knows, but I know I'm going to have a good piece.
Being a flat track also, does that help you with your background?
Not really. I seem to excel more on the bank tracks, I would say, but definitely Homestead is really slick, and I really enjoy slick racetracks, so I think that plays more into my background. You know, it's a place where you can move around. The top has a lot of speed at times, so that might be good, but, you know, ultimately the double zero beat everybody in the middle last year. So, we're going to have to make sure that we're good everywhere.
ChrisKnight@Edgefence.com. Christopher, kind of touching on Homestead again too. Last year you fought yourself a championship in the Truck Series with Cobblestone Motorsports, and you kind of knew what you were doing mentally and physically leading up into that routine. As you approach it again, knowing what you did last year worked, can you do the same thing 2 years in a row?
I hope so. Homestead is just, you know, it's a toss up. I could get a flat tire lap one and be done, or I could get a flat tire lap 199 and be done. So the only thing that we can do is go out there and control what we can control and make sure that I don't beat myself, I don't psych myself out, like you said, you know, try and get my head right going into it. And I was really proud of myself going into this weekend, just kind of, I don't know, I felt like I treated it like any other race and made the most out of the weekend, and Jason brought a really fast race car. So I think we just go into next week with the same mentality that we did this week. No, not really. You know, it's, I say it time and time again. We're all race car drivers and we race hard and want to win, if it's rental go-karts or for an Xfinity Series championship or a Cup Series championship. So, there's nothing really that I can do on my part except not get psyched out. And then, you just got to go in there and do your best. So I do that every time I get behind the wheel of any race car.
We'll go to Dustin and then to Reed.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Christopher, you certainly had a lot of pressure pack situations this year, and I'm just curious, how did today's situation compare to, for example, holding off Brad late at New Hampshire, holding off Kyle at Kentucky, which were seemed to be seminal moments for you? How did those? Can you give me a sense of what the pressure was like? How today compared to those? Was today more? Was today less than those situations?
I don't know. I guess there was definitely more on the line, so that means a little bit more pressure. But I feel like my mentors have just done such a good job of raising me throughout my young racing career and preparing me for moments like this. And you know, I put so much pressure on myself for really any racing that we go do. And you know, whenever I line up for the Chili Bowl heat race, I'm literally throwing up, and that's the most nervous, most pressure I feel of any race, just because what that race means to me. So today was nothing compared to that Chili Bowl heat race, but, yeah, I think just being in pressure situations throughout my career, you know, the Chili Bowl, the Knoxville Nationals, the Kings Royal, all those big, big events, you know, just the more you do it, the better you get. So, the more pressure situations you're in, the better that you can prepare yourself for the next one. So, hopefully this one prepares me anyway, pretty well for next week.
And I want to follow up on one thing. You talked about accepting the potential of not advancing. I think some people would say is you wouldn't want to say that or visualize or think like that because it puts that thought into your mind. So why that approach? And can you further explain what do you mean by accepting? Just think, is it just more of, hey, this could happen? Or what more went into that process? Because I think some people would kind of almost question, say that maybe it's almost a little defeatism.
Well, for me, I just I have a problem of beating myself. So if I sit here and say, hey, I have to win, I have to win, my season's on the line, then I'm more likely to beat myself. And, you know, we've won six races before today, and that was a great year. And whenever I go into a season, my two goals are to win races and compete for the championship. And we won races, and we competed for the championship all the way up until stuff outside of our control had happened. So, you know, it was still a successful season in my standards. And, but man, I'm happy that I'm still alive.
Reed.
Reed Spencer with NASCAR Wire for Jason. What was the inspection issue, and how did starting from the rear affect your approach to the race and change anything in terms of the way you were thinking about it?
Best I can tell, when we were doing restart practice yesterday, we made a couple passes through the dog leg. So between practices, I did notice we get pictures during practice. And I noticed in the second practice, the splitter looked up. And we did get some damage on the left front after that first practice from restart attempts, which is fine. I mean, if you don't have it in practice, you're going to have it during the race, right? So in the scan, the nose was just high, you know, it showed red, and we worked on it, as much as we could. I mean, there's not a lot of braces and supports up there that you can push on. and we just couldn't get it. You know, we kept working at it, and it's a tough thing to measure. And finally, well, two things: it's tough to measure, and you're on the clock. So obviously, your goal is just get it fixed and get out there so we can qualify. So once we couldn't make it to qualify, then you have enough time to go back and do what you need to do. And as far as, yeah, it definitely changed our approach. I mean, our hope was to come in here and sit on the pole and start from the front. That would have been a lot easier, I think. But, you know, I mean, you deal with that. I mean, every week you have to be prepared. You don't know. You don't know what you're going to fight, you know, week in and week out, and you do your best to prepare for it. And in this situation, you know, we come here next year, we're going to fight the same racetrack, and we'll just be prepared for it. We'll know that, hey, in between practices, we got to make sure that we look at this and we do what we need to do before qualifying inspection so that we don't get ourselves in this situation again. This track is unique. We typically don't fight that, but I think it's just because of the shape of the racetrack.
And there's a question in the back.
Dominic Aragon with the Racing Experts for Christopher. When you look back at this race at whatever point in time, what's going to stick out the most to you about it?
Just how fast that race car was. How really the whole weekend. I don't know if I've ever had a NASCAR weekend where we unload and we're just that fast. I mean, looking at the lap times, man, it was just, I went out there and I'm pretty sure I went top of the board in the first practice, but yet each lap was faster than the competition. So that's what's going to stick out to me the most, was how good of a race car that these guys brought.
Little Wolfgang.
One question for Mr. De Souza. Is this correct? Yeah, thank you. Over in Europe, the top teams, regardless open wheel, touring cars, sports cars, when it comes to the decision or to a final race and fight for the championship, they employ mental coaches for the drivers to go extremely positive, motivated into the last race. Do you have something similar in your race operation?
Well, obviously we have coach, and he sets a pretty high standard. And, you know, one of the things that he says a lot and teaches a lot is it's all about preparation and it's all about people. And so when we do have some of the younger drivers comes in, we try and pair them up the best we can. In this case, it was Jason. He's got a lot of experience. He's got a great operation. His group of guys are really strong. And he's helped Christopher come along in a lot of different areas, I think, in the maturity side, teaching him how to race. I think a week or two, Christopher said, either win or crash a lot. And I think today was a great example of his maturity. You know, he had to lay off the 22. He did that, you know, realized what he was doing and went forward. So, you know, he's learning a lot. He's a great race car driver. And I think guys like Jason around him, and then Tony Hirschman, his spotter, also did an awesome job with him, is kind of keeping his eyes on him and coaching him as we went. So, you know, there's a group of guys that we try and place around all of our drivers when they're in this series or with us in the younger ages to try and help them as much as we can.
All right. Well, we know you have a lot to prepare for going into next weekend. So thank you all for joining us. Congratulations.